Hello, John. Hello?
Hello.
There you are.
Hi.
We lost
Hello.
you. We lost you for a minute. What is going on?
Hello and welcome again to another edition of Jedi and Germs on the Jazz, a weekly podcast brought to you by TornBySports.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hi, John.
I am. Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm swell. Jazz are 2-1. If the playoffs started today, they'd be in.
They'd probably be like the 2 seed, wouldn't they? Oh, wait, no.
No, they still got some undefeated teams. you got Clippers and Warriors undefeated, and then there's everybody else.
Yeah, but per some stats that you threw out, and actually stats that are on NBAStats.com or Stats.NBA, but the Jazz are number one in defense. I believe you put defensive efficiency or defensive rating their number one, and their number
defensive rating
number 15 in offensive rating, making them an overall number two in overall net rating.
Yeah, they actually moved up to number 14 in offensive rating.
Ooh.
Due to some games that have happened today. So, yeah, they're still net 2, which is great, which is the thing to look at. It just shows they're a strong team. And it also could show that, okay, two of their teams they played are the Sixers and Pacers. The other one was the Pistons, and the Pistons, if I remember right, they just lost to the, I think the Pacers beat the Pistons tonight. So it's all just one flat circle.
Yes. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Pacers beat the Pistons, so Pistons aren't undefeated anymore. But now we got the Jazz coming to town. Everyone listening to this is probably, it's the day of when Jazz are going to face Portland. We're going to have our home opener.
Yes.
Portland's 2-2, so you know, I thought they'd be the worst team in the West. They're 2-2 right now, so they're having a decent start to their own season.
Devin, do you have something to say to John on that?
Told you.
Told you.
Yeah,
that's all you're going to say is told you.
Looking like the Lakers are going to probably be that team.
Like he said, if the playoffs started today.
Well, you know what? And
Portland would be out, but you know.
But they'd be close.
We'll get into
actually they'd be tied for 8th, so who knows?
And we'll get into this in our third segment of topics because we'll talk about the game. But the Jazz, this is no gimme. Initially, when we had our show last week, we thought maybe the Jazz could be 3-0, 4-0, something like that, going, you know, ending, you know, after the game. This is no gimme, and I think I'm going to present some ideas of why I don't think it is a gimme, even though it's on the home floor. So, but what's up on our first topic tonight?
Well, we want to talk about the first 3 games, what we've learned from the team, what we're liking and not liking. One more thing on this not being a gimme. The first week of the NBA has been so insane.
Yes.
Has been so unpredictable that I would say you really got to ride out the first like 3 weeks and just go, there are really no gimmies.
Agreed.
I think the only gimmies right now is that the Warriors are going to win. That's pretty much it.
Right. I can agree with that. So,
all right,
let's talk about the first 3 games of the Jazz.
Yeah. Derek Favors is looking awesome.
And
he's been consistent.
And with that said, he may not play in the Portland game tomorrow or tonight,
which is very sad.
Yes. Very.
Gosh. Yeah, that's definitely not a gimme if Favors isn't there.
So what's your, what are your, John, your surprises from the Jazz in the first 3 games? If you could pick a surprise take, what would that be?
Let's see. My positive surprise would be how Trey Burke and Raul Neto have looked overall. Trey did not look good in game one, but overall, over the three games, I thought they've looked pretty good. Trey's shooting 47% right now, which is great because he's been in the 30s his first 2 years. Let's hope he can maintain that. And Raul Neto, he's 80% from three right now, which is awesome. But he's also been a really good distributor, and he's been pretty decent on defense.
In fact, I believe he accounts for most of the threes that have been taken by the team so far this year.
Most of the makes, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's God, I'm looking at it per game right now, but for their totals, let me slide up to their totals. Neto has... Oh, he's only taken five shots. Okay, so he's made four of his five threes. Rodney Hood, after that 0-for-7 first game, he's 4-of-9 since from three in his last two games, so that's encouraging. I think my negative would be Hayward hasn't really started yet. He kind of seemed to wake up in the Indiana game, but we think Hayward is going to be a borderline all-star this year. He's actually right. A borderline all-star last year, but he hasn't really been showing that so far.
Right.
Right now he's averaging 12 points a game, 3.7 rebounds, 2.7 assists. It's good, but it's not what we expect. I really think whatever is going on with Hayward, there should be some game coming up for him to just finally be the Hayward that we expect. Portland would actually be a good game. Whether or not Favors plays, who's even the starting small forward on Portland?
Is it Connaughton?
No, he hasn't been playing much.
No, because their starting four is Leonard, right?
Yeah.
I think Miles Leonard is their starting four, but I'm trying four. To think of who
they're... Plumlee, I think, is their five. Oh, it's Aminu.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Aminu's a decent defender. A okay player. He was drafted right before Hayward. Actually, it looks like he's having a pretty good season with Portland. So he's no slouch. That ought to be a decent challenge for Hayward.
So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, 14.5 points, 8.5 boards. This looks like, is this like the best year of Amino's career so far?
Could be.
Looks like he finally found a home. Yeah, this is, he is off to his best start by far. Okay, that's interesting. So Aminu's off to his best start yet. Hayward's kind of starting slow. That's going to be something to watch tonight to see which one prevails. If Aminu comes down to earth or if Hayward finally becomes the player we know he is.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to go with you. My negative take from the first three games is Hayward. I'm a little bit baffled by it as at this point in time. And I was talking to a friend of mine who made a suggestion. He said, Hayward's looked good defensively, which he has. And let's not sell him short on that. I mean, he faced Paul George on Saturday. And I thought he played fairly well defensively against Paul. And really the two of them had some sort of a competition going each other for most of that game. But offensively, he's just not there. And my friend suggested perhaps he's suffering from back problems, perhaps. Can that affect his offensive game? I don't know if you guys have heard anything on it, and I don't know how valid any of that is, but it would make sense if that was the case, that perhaps health might be affecting his offensive game a little bit. But my positive is Derek Favors. And yes, Trey's played great, but I kind of expected that coming out of the gate. But Favors surprises me, because when we all did our previews early on, didn't we say that for the Jazz to take the next step, one of the things that we all believed needed to happen was that Favors needed to average, what did we say, 20 points and 10 rebounds a game? And right now he's above that mark, isn't he, at 22 a game?
Yeah, I thought Hayward needed to average 20 points a game. I thought Favors needed to be an 18 and 9 guy. And while Hayward is down right now, Favors is up. Favors is performing as the star, and that's encouraging. Maybe we're going to just see Hayward and Favors be at the same level offensively. And then you have Favors and Gobert, who is the best 4 or 5 defensive tandem in the whole NBA.
And what I've liked about Favors, and I don't know, I was listening to the basketball game. What was it on? I don't know if it was Philly or if it was the next night at Indiana. I was listening to David Locke because I couldn't be in front of the TV. So I was listening to the game. And he did one of those brief little interviews that he always inserts in with Derek Favors. And he asked Derek Favors about the test ahead of him, how he's had to play against stretch fours in the early going here in the first 3 games, and how they've actually made him have to guard away from the paint. And you could see a lot of teams starting to do that this year. I mean, Miles Leonard is another guy that'll probably do that to Favors tomorrow or tonight. But he asked him, he said, so what are you trying to do to counteract that? And Favors said, I think his exact words is, I'm going to punish them on the other end. And he really has. he's had to face guys outside of his comfort zone on the defense, but on the offense, he's destroyed them. I mean, he's literally taken that, almost like he's taken his frustration out from having to guard them way out on the defense. He's taken it out on them on the offensive end, and he's doing it to a pretty hefty tone. So that's my surprise out the gate so far. And if we get that from Favors all year long, the Jazz may win more games than a lot of us may be predicted ahead of time too. Just a thought.
Which would be great.
Absolutely.
Before we get to the rest of the NBA, let's look to the week ahead. We've got 3 games until Tuesday. So we got Portland at home tonight.
Right.
We've got at Denver on Thursday. So that's another back-to-back right away. I would think they beat Portland tonight. I really hope Favors plays, but even if he doesn't, I think they should still beat Portland tonight. Playing at Denver the next night will be tough. I feel like they're a better team than Denver, but that could be one where I could see it bite them. Let's see. Denver is 1-2 right now, although they're probably going to beat the Lakers tonight.
Oh, and by the way, that's another forward that stretches the floor really, really well at Denver, in Gallinari. So,
yeah, although he's playing the 3.
Is he playing the 3 more?
Yeah, Fried plays the 4 for them.
Okay. And that might be a little bit. That's another interesting matchup for Favors at that 4 position, is to have Fried matchup.
Yeah, Fried's a high energy guy. Fast guy. Favors should get his own offensively against him. But the thing about Denver, they don't really have a center right now. They're kind of waiting for Nurkic to get back. And so they're playing Nikola Jokic, who's a rookie. They got the French guy, Joffrey Lavergne, how do you say his name?
We're slaughtering names on this podcast.
Yeah, I know. I can't say his name. But, you know, it's a game where Rudy should get like 15 rebounds and however many points. They ought to give Rudy some points that night. And then you got Moutier, who's their rookie point guard, who's showing a lot of promise, although struggling tonight against fellow rookie D'Angelo Russell. So we're going to put our rookie Gardnetto against Moutier and see how the two of them match up. That'll be fun. And then after that, Saturday, we'll have a home game against Memphis. And, you know, after watching Memphis lose by 50, I know it was the Warriors, but man, they lost by 50. That should be another win for the Jazz, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So if the Jazz play their cards right, if they can pull out that win at Denver, I mean, they're sitting pretty with one loss after six games.
Which would be great.
Yes, it would.
Because then they would go on a four-game road trip. So if they can start that road trip 5-1, that would just be wonderful.
I know, and the Jazz, holy crap. That's to start the season, have we ever seen this many road games in the first 2 weeks of the NBA season for the Utah Jazz? It's been quite a while. There's usually been some pretty good
homestands. Eight of their first 10 on the road is...
Yeah. Yeah, so the the very tough road to start the season, but if they get through it, that's a good building block to move forward. And it was interesting. I don't remember who it was that was reported the other day of saying, you know, on the Jazz, it said, look, I think it was Trey talking about road games and how the Jazz, they relish these opportunities on the road because they grow together, they get better together, the chemistry, they build chemistry. These kind of road games, I think, are good for a young team. If they can get wins, it's good for their psyche and good for their mental, you know, their mental breakdown, you know, heading forward into the season. This is a good opportunity for the Jazz as a young squad.
Mm-hmm.
So, Devin, thoughts? You think the Jazz beat Portland tonight? What do you think of the next three games?
I'm actually going to say that they lose at home against Portland. I don't think Favors will play. I do think Favors will travel with them to Denver, and I think they'll get the win on the second night of the back-to-back, because keep in mind, it is early in the season. They had a back-to-back when they played against the Pacers.
And they won both
And they
of
won
those.
That game. So I don't... late in the season, I think the back-to-back comes into play a little bit more than it does when you're just starting out. I think when you've got a young squad, you've only got a couple games, you know, into the year, you really can't use that as an excuse.
Oh, by the way, the back-to-back happens to be in their own mountain time zone, so that really doesn't change much.
Right. So I can see them winning that game and then getting their home win against Memphis, because that's a home game, right?
It is a home game, and I think Memphis by then is going to be pretty hungry to get some more wins because they have not had a good start. But I think at that point in the season, Jazz should still be able to take advantage of the kind of disarray that they're having. I mean, Memphis is getting some confidence as they're beating the Kings right now, but
it is the Kings.
I still think overall it is the Kings. So, I see the Jazz winning that one.
It'll depend if the Jazz win, you know, tonight against Portland, because if they do not, then I think the Jazz will be just as hungry for a win at home at the Viv.
Oh, you just said the Viv.
We're calling it the Viv, I think.
Oh.
Yeah,
Viv. No, it's Vivint Smart Home Arena. Come on now.
Alan, I will kick you off the podcast.
You can use the French pronunciation. That's fine. The Vivant.
The Vivant?
That might be the best one yet.
Vivant Arena.
All right. So, I'm excited to see where the Jazz are at after this next few home games before they head out on that road trip. This is a good time. This also goes into the next topic where we're going to talk about surprises or things that catch us in the NBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts early on? What has stuck out with you?
I was surprised how badly James Harden started off. I mean, he was shooting 22%. They finally and then to end their losing streak, they beat the Thunder.
Yeah.
And that's just an insane. I didn't think Rockets would look so bad. They had a historically terrible start. They lost by 20 points in the first three games each. And then they turned it around against the Thunder.
The Thunder that, oh, by the way, had their two stars in a triple overtime score 90-something points between each other.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you're right. The Rockets have been a surprise. I'm going to call my surprise so far is the Detroit Pistons. And everybody, you know, we had Jazzland was a complete mess after that opening game against Detroit, about what could have been, about the Jazz losing to Detroit, and about how, and we talked about this on our predictions. We thought that we still thought that Detroit wouldn't make the playoffs in the East. I submit to you today, would we rethink that now after what we've seen? I mean, they might actually make the playoffs in the East. They look, and granted, I know we're four games, whatever, into the regular season, but Detroit looks to be like a team like they've maybe got something going early on.
Yeah, the thing that kills me about Detroit is if we had had Trevor Booker, I bet that would have made the difference and we would have won.
Right.
And Detroit right now, they don't have Jody Meeks or Brandon Jennings, and that is killing them right now. That's why they lost to the Pacers tonight, was because their bench could not do anything without another point guard out there.
Right.
And, you know, Reggie Jackson can't play 48 minutes. And so they, you know, now they've lost. But that's their first loss. They've looked great. Andre Drummond, I'm so glad I picked him for most improved player, because he looks like he's going to have a 2020 season. He just looks like he's going to have this Moses Malone type year. Stan Van Gundy is a good coach. We all knew he was a good coach, and this seems to be the year where he's putting it all together.
And the thing about Stan Van Gundy, my knock against him is probably his strength with this team. My knock has always been with him, you got one big man and kick it all outside to a bunch of perimeter players. And that's exactly what he has this year. He's got Drummond down in the middle to work, and that's all Drummond can do is work down low. But he's got stretch fours, he's got guards that can shoot, he's got guys that can shoot the outside shot, and that's exactly plays into his strengths as a coach. So what does he do? He makes it work. And oh, by the way, he puts together a pretty good defensive scheme as well.
Yeah, and the thing with Stan, he just had a personality conflict with Dwight Howard. That's the only reason he is no longer in Orlando.
Right.
And so they fired Stan to try to please Dwight, and Dwight left anyway. Left that whole franchise in chaos. Now he's back in Detroit, and now as long as he and Andre Drummond get along, and it sure looks like they are, he has this new home in Detroit, and he definitely has the skill to turn Detroit into a playoff perennial again. He just needed the right roster, and it looks like he's getting there. So he can ride on the back of Andre. He's helping him get to the next level, and now they can just, you know, put all the pieces around them. KCP looks like he's having his breakout year. You can see why he was a lottery pick now.
Yep.
So yeah, they've been a pleasant surprise at the beginning of the NBA here. I was just looking at the standings and how bizarre they look. I mean, do you know who the only undefeated team is in the East now?
It's not Cleveland, is it?
No, and I know they lost to Chicago.
That's right, and Chicago's not undefeated either because they lost a game. You got me. I'm not sure who it is.
Toronto.
Oh.
You remember how Toronto just had this really weak second half, and they limped into the playoffs. They got blasted in the first round.
Yeah.
Toronto, Damari Carroll looks like one of the great free agent signings of the summer. He is really locked in their defense. They have a real defensive presence now. And he just seems to be like the right glue guy that team needed.
And that is just a huge tribute to the road that Damari has had. You know, he came out of obscurity, played with the Jazz, kind of solidified himself as an up-and-comer, ends up in Atlanta, and look what he does. And now he's in Toronto, and he's making headwaves. You know, that guy has had quite the journey, and he's done a fantastic job about it, too.
Yeah, I'm always happy when ex-Jazz players do well, if they, you know, still like our team. And Damari definitely does.
Yes, he does. Yes, definitely. Any other surprises? I mean, yeah, the aside from that undefeated team in the East, I remember a stat that Locke threw out the first game or two, and I don't know how well it's held since then, but teams were kind of 500 on their home courts early on in that first game or two. I don't know if it's held serve since, but it teams are winning on the road early on in this season, and they're winning on the road big in a lot of cases.
Well, there's truth to that. Atlanta's 1-1 right now at home. Charlotte is, no surprise. Phoenix, Portland, Memphis, Sacramento, Houston's 1-2 at home. So yeah, there's truth to that. You've got teams like Milwaukee's 0-2, Orlando's 0-2 at home. Wizards are 0-1. Minnesota lost their home game, but they won their two road games. They look like they'll be something this year. They look like they'll be fun. That's another one, actually. Carl Anthony Towns has had a great start.
You know, you're funny. You bring up his name right as Devin has searched him on the phone, and he showed me the phone right as you're saying his name. That's hilarious. You two are on the same page right now.
The guy has looked like hands down rookie of the year. I mean, I don't know if any of us took him. I got cute and said Moutier when we were talking about who's going to be the rookie of the year, because I didn't want to go with that number one pick because that just seems like a gimme lately.
Yeah.
But after watching him play, man, he looks good.
In his first three games, he's 17.7 points, 10.3 rebounds, 2.7 blocks. That is a great start.
And that's with a bad game. Against Portland, he had 11 points and 5 rebounds.
And that's his bad game?
That's his bad game. He's averaging almost 18 points.
He had a
points.
Double-double in his debut.
He
looked great.
So I mean, yeah, some of this stuff is starting to surface, and here we are only four games in. It's crazy. I have a couple of things to throw out in our surprises, our talk with the NBA Sir early on. First of all, a bit of news or bit of note, LeBron James, youngest player ever to 25,000 points. Is there a surprise there for either of you on that one?
Nope.
No.
Well, no.
Okay. Second of all, straight out of the horse's mouth, Kobe sucks.
That's not a surprise.
And he
That's
even
not a surprise at all.
I'm just saying he said that.
Yeah, the surprise is that he admitted it.
Yeah, that's the surprise. He admitted it. And he said that he's probably the 200th best player in the NBA. And that's probably even being kind. And the Lakers really are bottom dwellers, but Kobe, a little bit of humble pie early on, and maybe I have a sneaking suspicion this might be his final year. I don't know how much more of a legacy you can put, and if he can go out, you know, on a good note, I think this might be the year he just needs to hang him up and say, guys, I'm horrible. I'm not going to be good again. I've hit that plateau, and it's time to walk away from the game.
Kobe says he's number 200. So just if you want to know, if you want to know where that is, ESPN with their player rank had Corey Joseph as number 200. Jody Meeks is 199. And then just to kind of let you know, Matthew Dellavedova was at 198. So that's where Kobe sees himself.
Just above Trevor Booker at 201.
Yep.
And that's why I said I think that's being kind, because at this point in time, I think he's playing even worse than Trevor Booker. But that's...
Well, I mean, he said he was going to be a mentor for the young guys. And his... Isn't he like 1.7 assists? Just some really low assist number this year?
Oh, he's awful. He's awful.
I'm just... You know, good for him in recognizing it. I kind of like cocky, confident Kobe, even though he's stinking up the joint. But since now he recognizes that he's hurting the team, maybe we're going to see some differences with him.
Maybe.
I would hate that.
I don't know. They're losing. Yeah, I know. I want him to just, like, keep chucking all year.
Yeah, I could. I kind of with you there. I don't know. It's just. I chose to bring up those 2 points between LeBron and Kobe in almost the same instance for a reason, because you've got one who's just passing time before it's time to walk away from the game, and the other one you'd almost think is on the way down, but he's really not. He's at the pinnacle of his career right now. LeBron is right there at the top, and it's 25,000 points. It's a milestone, but that guy, we all picked him as our consensus MVP, didn't we? I think we all did. And yeah. I think it's going to be hard to dispute that as the season rolls on, even with Westbrook and Durant. The level of play this year is going to be incredible from the stars. I think we can expect that already. We've already seen Steph Curry go off for 50. We've seen 48 and 47, 49 point games, whatever, from Westbrook and Durant. We've seen guys put together big numbers already. But with all that said, it's going to be a fun year to watch. And stars are going to be something special this year. And we're already seeing that.
So. Well, I'll tell you, I'm actually less secure about LeBron being MVP this year, because we keep hearing about his back issues.
Right.
Where he's like laying down during breaks and whenever he's not in the game. And he's doing a lot right now, I think, because Kyrie Irving still isn't back.
Right.
But I think he's actually looking forward to this being a more even team. Trying to get Kevin Love up there. Trying to be a co-scorer with him.
Do you know who led the team in minutes last year? It wasn't LeBron James.
No, I don't.
It was Kyrie Irving. LeBron James was second in minutes per game last year behind Kyrie. So
there you go.
So, yeah, I could see him. And that was like 31, 32 minutes, I think, is something like that. But it was, and I've done that because I've been doing research on minutes, on starter minutes. But it was just something I noticed today, which was a little intriguing to me. I thought LeBron actually would have been leading, but no, it was Kyrie Irving that led the team in minutes last year. So, any plays that stand out? I only ask this because it's almost a bait and switch, because I've got one particular play, dunk of the year so far, goes to Harrison Barnes.
Oh, there was that crazy wraparound pass that Steph Curry did.
I think I missed that one.
He did this behind his back.
It was like over the shoulder, wasn't it?
Between like three guys and to James McAdoo. Have you seen that one?
I don't think I've seen that one. Wait, yes, oh. I did. Yes, I did.
It was in the Memphis game.
Yes. Yes, that was impressive. And it seems like the top place so far out of Golden State. But, I mean, against Houston, that the way Barnes went into the paint, just cocked back his arm way back and dropped the hammer on Dwight Howard, posterized Dwight Howard. That to me was probably one of the best of the year. Best dunks I've seen in a while too. That was impressive.
I didn't get to see it live, but did you guys see that Oklahoma City at Orlando finish?
The one that went three yeah. overtimes, the one where Oladipo hit that long three and then Westbrook turns around and drops a 45 footer to tie it up.
Yep.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And then if I recall, I think Depot hit a three in overtime to push it to second overtime. I mean, it was big shot after big shot.
And like I said, I believe that was the game where Westbrook and Durant combined for 95, 96 points,
yep,
I think.
That was the one.
So yeah, we've seen some fun things early on in this season. A lot to look forward to as we head forward. Any other things you want to address with the NBA, or should we jump right into the Portland Jazz game?
I was going to say, I did the poll earlier, and what wound up barely winning is that I had asked if people thought that Jazz would break 100, or if it'll be a while before they have their first 100-point game. Majority thought it would be a while.
And might we add that was a very small majority, because the difference was fairly close, wasn't it? What was the final percentages, John?
Yeah, it was like 57 to 43, something like that. Okay. But as I'm looking at their offenses, you know, Jazz are 14th in offense. Portland is 17th. And when it comes to defense, we know Jazz are number one. Portland is 10th. So this could actually be one of the, this could be a defensive battle.
I picked this game. I was one of the 40 something percent that said the Jazz hit the century mark in Salt Lake against Portland. Don't shake your head at me, Devin, because I still believe it. Now, my vote might have to change knowing that Favors isn't going to play now, because that's a huge hit to the offense. But I thought that the Jazz would break 100 at home on opening night.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing that encourages me is we've seen some surprising high-scoring games. And I'm hoping the Jazz will have one of those.
Okay, so what needs to happen for the Jazz to score 100 points?
Hayward needs to play like Hayward. And some of the other guys just need to keep doing what they're doing. Rodney Hood has really been coming on strong. We need more transition buckets. Neto needs to shoot better from inside the three. He's 1 of 11 so far. You can't keep doing that if you want to keep your starting job.
Jazz need to get to the free throw line and convert.
Yeah. They haven't been that bad so far. They've been 75% as a team.
That's not bad.
No, that's better. Last year, I think they were like 69% or something, just really bad.
But I think the discrepancy I referred to is that Indiana game, the Jazz went to the free throw line less than 10 times in the opening half. And it wasn't, I mean, they didn't break it open until the second half, but you, Jazz have to get to the free throw line. If, especially if they're going to convert on 75% like they are, got to get to the free throw line to make some sort of a dent or impact in the score.
You know what's funny about that Indiana game? I remember really noticing the free throw discrepancy during the first half. But by the end of that game, I think the Pacers only had one free throw in the second half.
So it flip-flopped.
Yeah, the Jazz just were a completely different team in the second half.
They were.
In, like, everything they did.
Yeah, they were. They were. I agree with that, but... So yeah, to your point, yes, Hayward needs to be Hayward. I think that's a huge difference. Devin, you shook your head at me when I said the Jazz get to 100 against Portland. What do the Jazz have to do to get to 100?
I'm still shaking my head at you.
But what do the Jazz have to do to get to 100?
Favors has to play. If Favors doesn't play, it's not happening, because Gordon can't go out and drop 45 points on his own. Gordon would have to have a good game. Be more of the Gordon that we saw last year. Trey would have to have a good game off the bench, and then I think you'd have to have a balanced attack. You know, I'm talking maybe 10, 12 points from Burks, Hood, Rudy. You know, Rudy should be able to get his fair share of points with all the rebounds he's getting.
So if I'm hearing from both of you, assuming Favors were to play, if I'm hearing from both of you, the biggest difference that's keeping him from 100 is Gordon Hayward, because Devin, you just listed off a bunch of things that have already been happening with the Jazz. Trey's been playing well. Burks and Hood are averaging, what, 15 and 16 respectively, 16, 17, something like between the, you know, a piece. That's enough for 35 points right there. It really, all they're missing is the firepower that Hayward brings to the game. If I'm listening to both of you right, am I right?
Let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Let's say that you get 30 points out of Burks and out of Hood. Okay?
Right.
And then you're going to get another, let's say, 20 out of Gordon and out of Favors.
That's 40. So that's 70.
Okay.
And then you're going to get another probably 15 to 20 out of Trey Burke, because he's been giving you about 17 or 18 a night.
So, yeah, I mean, it's possible, but I don't know. I just see this being one of those things where the Jazz are going to be a defensive team. They're going to rely on their defense. And I don't think the offense is going to really start clicking the way that everyone wants it to. I think you're going to have a guy that has a down night. I think if Gordon has a good night, you're going to see Rodney have a bad shooting night, or you're going to see Trey have a bad shooting night.
John, what was the last team to go on to win an NBA title? And granted, I'm already saying this, I'm not saying the Jazz win a title, but what was the last team to win a title who was great on the defensive end but couldn't score? Would that be Detroit of 04?
They could all score.
Yeah.
Detroit was so balanced. I mean, you had Rip Hamilton, Chauncey Billups, both great outside shooters. They could do everything. I mean,
because I'm looking at it, and the Jazz have a defense that might mirror that Detroit team. That might be the last time we've seen a team this good defensively in the NBA. But I'm looking at it from a scoring vantage and wondering, when was the last time an NBA team went to the playoffs and made noise in the playoffs with a number one defensive rating in the league and an average offensive rating?
My bet would be that you've never had an NBA champ that wasn't at least top 10 in offense.
Okay. Well, there's the bar. There's the bar that the Jazz have to set to be there. They're number one.
And they're only 14th right now. So
right.
They're 14th in offense right now. And you have Hayward, who's only putting up 12 points a game.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's all I was pointing out. It's like the Jazz aren't, I mean, I think they're playoff contenders, and I think they're playoff contenders with the defense as is, but to really be a team to take serious in the playoffs, they've got to be very good offensively. And I go back to my question, what has to happen for the Jazz to be good offensively? Do the Jazz have to, here's what some fans and some people want. Do the Jazz have to go out and pick up a big name free agent that could get them score, or can they get to the point where this group of players, this group of core that they have, can score on a nightly basis and get them offense?
You know what they need? They just need to be smart with their shot selection. If you're not having a good shooting night, stop shooting. There's enough talent on this team that another guy can pick up the slack on any given night.
And that goes across the board, right? You're talking to any player.
If Gordon's having a bad night, stop shooting. If Trey is having a bad night, stop shooting, because Rodney's going to pick up some of the slack, or Alec is going to pick up some of the slack, or Favors is going to have a big game like he's been having. And you have other guys off the bench. Booker can give you some points off the bench. Neto has shown that he is capable of hitting the outside shot. If he can just get some of those inside shots like John was talking about to start falling. You know, the Jazz have a very balanced team, and they don't need a Carmelo Anthony, I'm going to score a bunch of points and I'm going to get mine. They don't need that.
Right.
They don't need a James Harden. They don't need that.
That answers my question then, because that's what I'm saying. I don't think the Jazz have to make any major moves or changes via draft or free agency or anything over the next 2 or 3 years to be where they want to be as a top seed in the West, because I think they have everything they need right on this team.
They have it. They have a lot of depth. They've got a lot of talent, and the team can be the star. They've got guys who have star potential in Gobert, in Favors, in Hayward. But the team as a whole can be the star.
John, you in agreement?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Okay. So we're hitting the 55-minute mark. We're going to end up going really long again. Does that cover everything we wanted to approach tonight?
I think so.
All right, so final segment. We've left this out from the last few podcasts, last few episodes we've done. Let's jump into a little bit of pop culture. John, what's a movie, a must-see movie that you've seen recently that some of our listeners need to take some time to go out and see?
I don't know if I'd call it must-see, but one movie I saw that was really good was Bridge of Spies. It's kind of an old school type movie.
Is that Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks, directed by Steven Spielberg. Just very classic Cold War type thriller where and it's a true story. Tom Hanks plays this lawyer who is commissioned by the CIA to go help negotiate this hostage swap. And apparently it's the first real, not hostage swap, spy exchange, where the U.S. captures the Russian spy and Russia captures the U.S. spy. And so they try to negotiate a swap, but it's a very delicate thing, and he has to go to East Germany to do it. And there's just a lot of tension everywhere, and they do a really good job of kind of giving you a sense of that atmosphere in the 50s and just how everyone was walking on eggshells and no one really knew how this was supposed to work. Hanks gives his classic, you know, Jimmy Stewart type all-American performance. And Mark Rylance as the Russian spy is really good. He might even get a Best Supporting Actor nomination out of it. It was just a really solid, you know, patriotic movie. I enjoyed it.
All right. Get a chance to see Pan at all?
No.
Okay.
It got awful reviews and it bombed.
Yeah, I saw it. It had potential, John. It had a lot of potential. I will tell you this, though. 10 minutes into it, you're in Neverland. The pirates are all gathered, and the kids are all there, and they're chanting Nirvana Nevermind, or Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit. Yes, Devin, okay. You can give me that weird look. That is the turning point for the movie where I went, huh? I was talking to a buddy of mine who reviews movies, and that was one of the things he said in his review, is that they went with punk in some of their songs, because there was another punk song in there, but you had it was Smells Like Teen Spirit, and as soon as they started chanting that, I went, no thank you.
Well, here's the thing with that. If you're going to do that, you have to do it right. And I would hold up A Knight's Tale as one that did it right.
Yes, it did.
Knight's Tale let you know right away what they were going for when they're doing We Will Rock You during the opening credits of a joust scene. And yes. you were introduced right at the beginning. You can either go with this or not. And so if you just go with it right then, you're fine. Moulin Rouge, I would argue, did the same thing. When you see the little tiny guy get up and hyper direct the 20th Century Fox theme, it's telling you right then what kind of movie you're getting into. So if Pan doesn't let you know that until you're 10 minutes in, and then suddenly you're getting Team Spirit, that's going to be a lot more disjointed.
And it was, especially when it starts the movie in, you know, what, 18th century. It was during the 19th century England. So, yeah, sorry, I'm going way back in my years there.
Oh, was it World War I? Then it was actually 20th century.
Sorry. Yeah, it might have been. I don't know. It might have been one of the World Wars. All I know is that you're going way back before Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit's ever been heard of. And you have these chants of. I just don't know. And. There were some good things about the movie, but like I said, there was much more potential than it live up to. But in the end, the judgment falls upon those who saw it and enjoyed it. My kids enjoyed it, and I can't fault them for it. So that's the most recent movie I saw, and the most recent blah movie I saw. So,
well, there have been a lot of bad movies opening lately. So I've just been, I mean, Bridge of Spies opened, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, but nothing else that comes out in the last week or two has had good reviews. And so I haven't really seen the most recent stuff. I mean, you had Burnt that has Bradley Cooper as a chef.
Right.
Just never looked interesting to me. And, you know, when the bad reviews kick in. And one thing that's kind of nice is critics still seem to matter. And I appreciate that aspect of it, even if people are going more to like Metacritic and Rotten Tomatoes, hopefully my reviews, but you know that it's people are still like trying to make sure what's good and using some judgment. And this Friday is when the real holiday season kicks off, so you have the new James Bond movie, Spectre,
yep,
which looks interesting, and then you have the big screen Peanuts movie,
which I'm excited about,
which looks good. And you know, and so from there for the next 2 months, we're just going to have awesome movies opening every week.
Yep. And I'm counting down, just so everybody knows, by the time you listen to this podcast, I believe we're down to 44 days.
I got my tickets, but I'm not going to see it until Tuesday.
Oh.
Well, bummer. Yeah, we went to go get them. I wanted to get it where I could take all of my kids except the babies. And when I went to go buy them, it's like the only ones that weren't sold out were all 3D shows. And I'm like, I don't want to pay an extra $250 per ticket. I just want to see it at a normal time. And then the best time was Monday. And then I kind of went, well, why don't we just wait till Tuesday where it's $5 Tuesday and I can just save more money that way. So that's what we're doing.
I got mine for opening night, actually night before opening night, Thursday night, the 17th at 7. And folks, if you don't know what we're talking about, then I'm really ashamed of you. No. Star Wars coming out on December 18th. I'm looking at the next biggest blockbuster of all time. So, by the way, in case anybody didn't notice, I believe recently we've seen Jurassic World from this year creep up in the top three of all-time grossing films already, and that's insane. So, yeah. So there you have it. Devin, do you have anything to contribute?
Not to movies. Just TV.
Okay, give us your TV.
Lately, I've been enjoying Gotham. I'm not sure how many people are following that. It's been kind of a dark season, which I've really enjoyed, especially from a show on Fox. Legends just started up on TNT again. That may be a show that a lot of people are not familiar with, but kind of the undercover agent, you know, losing his identity is the premise there. Seems to be a very smart, interesting show. And then, I don't know, just the NBC usuals, you know.
The Blacklist.
The Blacklist, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Grimm is back, which I really enjoy. So just a lot of good fall television. And I'm not watching The Voice, so that's great.
And we're a month away from Devin falling back into Hallmark movie December.
Hallmark movie started on Sunday, actually, and the DVR is quickly filling up, so...
So yes, folks, if you're listening to this and if you don't remember, be ready because here comes the Hallmark Christmas brought to you by Devin Masters.
I'll try to save them until after Thanksgiving and until I get deathly ill, like seems to happen every December. So.
Of course. So, all right. Well, there you have it. Little pop culture to end off our show this week. I want to thank everybody who has joined us. By the way, shout out to Justin Sweeney. Had a conversation today about the Jazz Portland game. He made a lot of great points and I agreed with him. Jazz are going to be up against a dogfight in the Energy Solution Vivint Smart Home Arena for the opening game of the season because they've got to face a good team that can spread the floor. And Lillard will be a good test for the Jazz's guards. But a shout out to everybody who took part in the poll. Everybody who listens to us faithfully, we appreciate it. And we appreciate all of you constantly interacting and working alongside with us. So you can find us on Twitter at Jedi and Germs, at Jedi Zog, at Torn by Devin, and at Germs Guy. You can find us on Facebook, Jedi and Germs on the Jazz, and by that same name on iTunes and Stitcher. Thank you all for joining us. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.